being thoughtful and intentional in bringing something in. I also appreciate your note. Hang on, I don't want to miss it. We are going to have a brief aside to revisit because though you put a smiley face after this, I don't think it can be overstated that there are many different ways to understand the divine and that Muslim people in the United States face great prejudice. We need to know and remember that. So I'm going to hang on to that too. So, the Quran. Ooh, Betsy, I'm a little hot. There we go. The Holy Scriptures of the Islamic Faith. This is a book that is revered. In fact, every single Quran that is produced is reviewed, hand-reviewed, for typos, misprints, or errors in the printing process. Because it is so revered, they do not want anything to be imperfect in it as it's shared. It's also a book that is learned. In Muslim communities, there are members who memorize the entire book. Hafiz, the person who can recite the entire Quran and share and speak it. Is the pulpit mic on, Betsy? Yeah, huh. A little ringy. Such it is. Okay. So, it is revered, it is learned, it is also shared. And when I mean shared, I don't just mean like copies handed out. This book and its story share a story with this book and its story. So, when you work in interfaith work, there's often a phrase that's used, the Abrahamic traditions. This is a phrase that speaks of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. These are the three Abrahamic faiths. And actually, if we go chronologically, it was Judaism, then Christianity, then Islam. Now, the Holy Scriptures of Judaism, the Hebrew Bible, is actually in our book. We usually call it the Old Testament. Okay, when I say we, I mean the world in general. I try not to do that. We'll talk about it. But in here, we find the stories. And in the Hebrew scriptures, tradition holds they were written by Moses and the prophets and by David, the figures of faith who captured the stories, preserved them, and passed them down. Now, again, I say tradition holds because no one knows exactly who held the pen as things were being written and stories were told, but that is the tradition that's carried. Then in Christianity, we have what we call our New Testament. It's made up of the Gospels and the letters and the writings, these beautiful, beautiful stories that are attributed, again, by tradition to the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then also Paul, who is accredited for writing the majority of the New Testament. Though, again, scholars will tell you he didn't write all of them, but other people were writing in his style, using his name, and it wasn't a lie. It was just how things worked. And then we have the Quran, the Holy Scriptures of Islam, recorded or revealed to the Prophet Muhammad by the angel Gabriel. And then he then recited what had been revealed to him to a series of scribes who wrote it down before his death. In fact, the word Quran means recitation. Yes, I did double check on Wikipedia, just so you know. It's been a few years since my religious studies degree, but somewhere my professor Fred Denny is smiling. He was my Islam professor at CU. Now, the interesting thing is for all the different places, so in this book I've got an English version, the Christian version of the Hebrew scriptures and our Christian stories, and in here we have the Muslim scriptures in the Quran. There is a shared story from the moment of creation all the way through Abraham, though the telling of the stories varies a bit, it's the same story. The Quran will tell different parts with different perspectives, but the same plot line from the moment of creation through Abraham, or should I say Abram, and Sarai, his wife, is a shared story. But there's a key part of Abraham's story. Abraham and Sarah, as they get their new names, they're told that they're going to have a child. Sarah laughs at this because she's really old, and that's no disservice to anyone who might be an octogenarian or higher in here. We're talking like biblically old, like 3-digit old. And she's told she'll have a child. well, she's not too sure about this whole thing, and she thinks, well, perhaps, as is a custom in the time and place, perhaps God says you will have a child means our household will, and so Abraham fathers a child with her maidservant. This is a slave in the household who cares for Sarah. And Hagar, this woman, has a son named Ishmael. Well, a few years later, Sarah actually conceives herself and bears a son, and that son is named Isaac. Interestingly enough, in the Hebrew, Isaac means laughter, because Sarah laughed when she heard she was going to have a kid. The kid gets named Laughter. Just a quick reminder that you didn't believe what I said was going to happen, Sarah. God has a wicked sense of humor. So, this is where the story picks up. And then we get to chapter 21. Let me see. I'm going to actually come do this the old-fashioned way because I can't hold a microphone and read out of here at the same time. Okay. Chapter 21 of Genesis in the Hebrew Bible, we find that the child grew. This is speaking of Isaac. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, Ishmael, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. And she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account that it was his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of the slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she says, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you." So in Genesis chapter 21, in these verses 8 through 12, we hear the Hebrew story that Isaac is chosen for how the line of Abraham will move forward. And a little bit later, we find out that following the wishes of Sarah, Abraham does send Ishmael and his mother into the desert. So she went off and she sat down opposite her son away off. And Hagar said, "Do not let me look upon the death of my child." As she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept, and God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid. For God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast, and I will make a great nation of him." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled a glass with water and gave it to the boy to drink. This is where the shared story parts ways. In the Hebrew tradition that Christianity then draws from itself, in the Hebrew tradition, it is Isaac who God chooses to carry forward the work and the promise given to Abraham. And in the Islamic tradition, it is Ishmael who God chooses and carries forward. The story of those chapters is told differently in the Quran. For in the Quran, it is not Isaac that fulfills the promised lineage, it is Ishmael. So that's the story of our stories and the story that they share. So what are we supposed to do with that information? I tell you, for all of the conflicts and strife throughout history, for all of the conflict and strife present today in the world, most people in the United States don't know the story of these stories. But now you do. At least a glimpse, an invitation to learn more. Like I said, I have a degree in religious studies. That's what I spent 4 years up at the University of Colorado in Boulder studying. The history and lineage of how people make meaning, sociology and anthropology of what it is to be people of faith. I got a master's in divinity at a school that here in Denver, Iliff School of Theology, where we had many classes upon pluralism and looking at the interplay of religious story. I'm an active member of the Interfaith Alliance, spending my time regularly with imams and with rabbis, speaking about our shared passions for justice and seeking peace together. And what I've come to realize is that religious communities benefit by knowing the places their own story comes from, and also how our story interacts with the stories of others. We have to remember that our story doesn't stand alone. This is true for any of us, right? If we sit and talk about what's going on in any one person's life, we don't see as much as we begin to talk to others. I love this about our neighborhood. I'll meet someone, and once I meet them, I realize I see them everywhere and all the time. You ever have this? You bump into somebody in this kind of neighborhood, and then you see them at the grocery store, and you see them walking down the street, and you see them at the pizza place, and you're like, have I been seeing you everywhere all the time? I just didn't know you. We can find this in the stories of other traditions and the values they carry, that as we come to know them, we start to see them other places, including interacting with our own stories. And I invite us to hear that and remember this, because how we speak about our own story matters. That's why I call it the Hebrew Bible and not the Old Testament. Calling something old seems to dismiss it, does it not? Here's where I want to bring us to conclusion. The majority of us don't know what is in this book. And we make assumptions based on how its followers are portrayed when we see them. Please note I use the word portrayed because portrayal is not always reality. This is an invitation to build relationship and learn from individuals how they choose to embody the faith they find here. But the majority of us don't know what's in this book. And the best way we have to come to know it is by those who live it well. At the same time, the majority of the world and even the United States doesn't actually know what's in this book. And the only way they are going to come to know it is by how we choose to live what we find in it. This is the invitation for us to live the values. We picked the hymns not knowing what the sermons were going to be, and I love that the hymn we just sung was, "They will know we are Christians by our love." That's the invitation. It's that simple and that hard, because living the values we find in here is complicated. But that's our call. May we be blessed as we seek to do so. Amen.